Say, Lord, my house is open. Lay hold of your word. Thou speak your word. To learn, to receive, and to walk. Father, tonight we receive in our heart revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that every man here tonight in our heart to flood every life. You help us see that which you put in our word to relent and to teach us the right attitude in learning your word. We ask you tonight, who learn properly, give us the learning how to learn properly. We ask and receive this by your Spirit in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. As I was in church, don't say good evening to someone by your side. Hallelujah. Praise God. Matthew's Gospel is our text again tonight, looking at learning properly. Matthew's Gospel 28. Praise the Lord. He says in 18, and Jesus came and said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So the all nations there means Jews and Gentiles, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You know, we hear someone say, also folks say that, some folks rather say that, oh, Christianity is a Jewish thing. I mean, some people even say Jesus did not come to save the whole world. He just came for the Jews. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And sometimes they're making such arguments. They say things like, you know, when Jesus sent people out in Matthew 10, he told them to preach, you know, to people. To preach only to those of the Lordship of Israel. You know, you put that said you put that text side by side with the John chapter 4 text with the woman at the well, where Jesus said salvation is of the Jews. How is it together? So it seemed like Jesus kind of implicated himself. Amen. That's quite funny. I mean, using the word implicated, it's quite funny. So put those texts together. At the point, Jesus was hard saying things like, do not preach to people except they are of the lost house of Israel. Then at some other time, you find Jesus saying things like, salvation, you know, is of the Jews. Praise God. So together, it makes it look, you know, if you're a history reader of the scriptures, if you're a Bible student, the bad students of the scriptures assume what people assume, some people assume or claim that Jesus did not come for the whole world. Not only Jesus, and then maybe you put that text again side by side with John 1 when it says he came to his own. Are we together? And definitely when you check out the text, his own refers to the Jews. Are we together? His own refers to the Jews. But I remember on Sunday I gave us some assignment to do. I got some reports already. And then part of what you would have observed in the work we're talking from some is that, you know, there's that the teachers or a kind of unique place, as it were, to the Jews, right? You'd have observed that Israel had that unique place. You know, obviously, why would the nation of Israel? I told you it is not the present day Israel. No, it's not the present day Israel, but the nation of Israel that was described in the scriptures, praise God, I wouldn't use the word preference, even though it looks like that, but I wouldn't use the word preference. But I will use the word a unique place. I mean, preference and uniqueness seems just the same. So Israel had that unique place, you know, as it were, in, let me say, God's plan of salvation or God's work on the earth. And I've explained to you what that uniqueness, you know, implies or implied. Praise God. So if Jesus comes in Matthew 28, and then he says, go and teach all nations. Now, definitely, if Jesus is talking to Jews, all nations, that means if you were a Jew. Are we there? And then Jesus comes and it is take the gospel to every tribe in the world. You know, you are going to see beyond the Jew. Yes or no? Thank you. To see beyond, you know, you're going to see beyond those who are decent, natural, you know. The audience of Jesus in Matthew 28 were Jews, obviously. You see in Acts chapter 1, the writer of the book of Acts began to list the names. You know, someone said he focused on the apostles. That's not very true, because then he mentioned Mary, the mother of Jesus. Are we together? Are we together? So he doesn't just focus on the apostles in Acts 1. He actually focused on the leadership. He mentioned Mary, the mother of Jesus, to show you that, how do I say this to you now? Praise God. To show you that, look at this. Now, you know the Jewish culture should be very patriarchal. Are we together? And I told you that you will find that patriarchal culture, which is definitely not very scriptural, not scriptural, but you will find that patriarchal culture in the early parts of the book of Acts. Now, what do I mean by that? Is that that patriarchal culture was very strong even in the church. Are we there? Because, for example, you wouldn't know that women were strongly involved in ministry until Paul came. Are we together? You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know until Paul came. I mean, it took the ministry of Paul for us to see that, oh, there were that actually be very involved in the ministry. But what I'm saying is this. Acts 1, now obviously, why would Luke give such a hint of a woman in leadership? Luke was Paul's disciple. Are we there? Alright. Paul's disciple. Oh, but was focusing on the leadership. So by mentioning Mary, they had also, Luke had informed us that women were in the leadership. Are we together? Of the church in Acts. Women were there. And definitely, what criteria would make women to be in leadership? Are we together? It's nothing else other than the women had been trained. The women, you know, I mean my grammar, though it's correct, had been deemed trained. Are we together? Are we together? The women has been undergoing, are we together, training. Right from Mark 10. No, Luke 10 precise. Not Mark 10, Luke 10. Right from Luke 10, you observe Jesus was in the house of, you know, Martha and Mary. Are we there? Who were siblings to Lazarus. He was in their house. Then, again, Luke was the one writing. Are we together? So Luke says that Mary, look at the text. I want you to see what praise God. A word which you might easily miss. In Luke chapter 10, are you there? Look at verse 38. Okay, let's read. Came to pass, they went and turned into the certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Interestingly, it was Martha that welcomed him in. Are we there? Now look at 39. Obviously, you can see from there that matter will be like the elderly one, right? Right? Okay, thank you. Now look at Mary. And then verse 39, can we read together? Is that called Mary? Okay. Also sat at who? Now obviously, look at something. It is which also sat. That means she wasn't the only one. Do you see that? Did you see that? So she wasn't the only one. See, I've explained to you what to sit at Jesus' feet means. It doesn't mean that Jesus was sitting, and let's say Jesus was sitting on the chair, then she was sitting on the rug. No, that's not the meaning. Are we together? Are we together? When you see the word at the feet or at his feet, is a language in Scripture. Another example of that is that you will find that same word used in Acts chapter 4 when he says they all sold their lands and brought the money to the apostles' feet. Are we together? Then you find the same again later on in the book of Acts where he says that Paul had lent at the feet of Gamaliel. Did you see that? Did you see that? Feet of Gamaliel. Then you see again Paul will use the term, he says, having your foot shod with the preparation of the gospel. And he wasn't talking about your leg going to buy shoes. So it's an idiomatic expression. Is it clear? Is it clear? Idiomatic. Bible, you will find idioms. Idioms. So it is an idiomatic expression when you read to be at somebody's feet or to lend at someone's feet or to sit at someone's feet or to bring something and drop it at someone's feet. When you read that, they took their lands, those that had lands and possessions, they sold it and brought the money and dropped it at the apostles' feet. The word feet there implies authority. So the one who does something at another's feet is under that person's authority. Are we together? If Saul of Tarsus has lent at the feet of Gamaliel, that means there was a time when he was under Gamaliel's authority. And I told you that Gamaliel was the owner of an academy in Israel. Are we together? Where the law is like a law school. Like a law school. Are we there? You observe that same Gamaliel at a particular time rose up among the sect of the Pharisees and was kind of cautioning them when they were persecuting the apostles. It was that Gamaliel that said, hey, leave these guys alone. You know what I'm talking about. So he now mentioned a particular guy who had also risen up. And then he says, they just faded out. Now if these guys are true, they're going to remain. But if they are not true, they are going to fade out like that guy. It was that guy that, now, for him to have get up and spoke and all the Pharisees calmed down, it means he was authoritative. Are we together? So Gamaliel was like a provost. Are we together? Not even a provost, like a chancellor. Are we there? Was like a chancellor or maybe a vice chancellor. In those days, you could call him like a founder. Like today, you have someone like Bishop David Oyedepo, who is the founder of Covenant University. Are we together? So he gets up and then he gives order to all the other Pharisees. So it was at his feet. Because when Saul mentioned him, that he had lent at Gamaliel's feet, he was defending his, are we together, career as such. He was announcing to them why, he should be perceived as authoritative. So, more or less like, I went to the best schools. Did you get it? I went to the best schools. That is, I learned at the feet of Gamaliel. So, if he had learned law at the feet of Gamaliel, people look at him and say, no, he knows what he's doing, listen to him. Did you get what I'm saying? So at the feet means under the or under the instruction. Under the instruction of Gamaliel. Put it differently, he was being trained. Is it clear? Is it clear? He was being trained by Gamaliel. He was being trained. So you also see that they brought all the soul, they brought it to the apostles. Apostles' feet will mean the central place where giving common Paul, something like that, a common Paul. wasn't like, oh, someone just showed up and said, where is pastor? Pastor in the office, just carry a bag of money, drop it, and pastor in the bag. No. Are we there? It means they made transfer of funds into the church account, something like that. So they sold, brought it to the apostles' feet. Luke is showing us there was orderliness in giving in the church. Are we together? So if you see, again, Luke is writing. So you can see now that feet is Luke's language. Right? At the foot. So Luke says, she also sat at Jesus' feet. And this is what discipleship is about. As I'm going. That is about learning at the feet of someone. Don't forget I said that Jesus also had disciples, right? And Jesus having disciples is theological, isn't it? Isn't it? I showed you that. It's theological. So, can we say that Mary was also one of Jesus' disciples? Can we say Mary was also one? Now, look at this. Also sat at. Do you think that if I translate like this, I'll be right? If I say, also was I put by Jesus, will I be right? Who also was being discipled by Jesus? So Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who was being discipled by Jesus. Look at what she does. She had. So look at this. Also sat at Jesus' feet was what she did consistently. And had his word was what she was doing at that time. Does that make sense to you? Doesn't make sense to most people. Does that make sense to you? Which also sat at Jesus' feet was what she did what? Consistently. And had his word was what? She was doing at that moment. Are we together? So one who was being. Look at that. I don't know if you can see what I'm saying or see what I'm seeing. Amen. Which also sat at Jesus' feet refers to what? How else can we translate that text? Can I get responses? I'm hearing something else here. What am I hearing here? What did you say? I knew I was hearing something different. Alright. Which also did what? Learned continuously from Jesus, right? Well, you're right. Are we together? Oh, is that a translation? Oh, that's your translation. That's good. Praise God. Are we there? Which also sat at Jesus. Are we there? Is what she did what? What she did what? At his word, what she was doing at that particular was what? Was teaching. So look at this. Now, which also sat at Jesus' feet, we said would imply who was also being discipled by Jesus. Isn't it? Then it says, and had his word. That shows you, look at this, that a sign of a disciple, are we together, is his or her attitude to the word when it's being preached. The sign that someone is, or the proof of being discipled, is your attitude to the word when being taught. Luke, you know, Luke was a doctor. Are we together? And we have such a journalistic account. I don't even know who Luke was. I don't even know what he's doing. Amen. But I know he was a doctor. Luke was a physician. But I mean, this book of Luke is a masterpiece. If you had said a doctor wrote it, wow. So a doctor wrote two books in the Bible. You cannot, because go school, be useless to God. Are we together? You cannot, because you're studying in medical school, become what? Useless to God. A doctor wrote what? Two books. An architect wrote 13 books. It kind of appears to me that your attitude to things in the natural will be seen in your things spiritual. When people fail in church, when people fail in the things of God, go into their natural lives and find out they don't do well there. They don't do well there. They don't do well there. So it's not church to fail. You are just not a diligent person in the natural. You're not diligent. Oftentimes you'll find the attitude in the world. Are we together? You'll find it in the things of God. Diligent. With me. Alright. So this is a doctor. And then Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet, is word. So he said, the proof that I'm being discipled is my attitude to the word of God when it is being taught. We're looking at learning properly, right? Okay. Now look at something here. Why did we come here? Mary had been discipled by Jesus. Mary had been discipled by Jesus. She had been discipled properly. So it shows you that Jesus had people who were being discipled. So that in Acts chapter 1, amen, when you see Mary, the mother of Jesus, that was a different Mary. This was a different Mary. So, but when you see Mary, the mother, if you see Mary, the mother, are we together, is to show you that women had been undergoing discipleship. Is that clear now? Discipleship. Amen. Had been undergoing discipleship. So Luke then talks about the apostles. So like I said, he focused on the leadership. And then he mentions a woman in the leadership. So don't forget where we came from. Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations. Yes, he was addressing Jews. There will include the non-Jewish nations. Praise God. It will include the non-Jewish nation. Are we here? Now look at this quickly. In Matthew there, it says, go and make disciples of all nations. So we are to be disciples. And let me ask a question. If we are to be disciples, or we are to make disciples. Amen? Amen? Does it mean go out to preach? Can you answer? Okay. Does it mean you're going to help people to be up? Are you going to go out to preach? Okay. Are you going to go out to help people believe the gospel? Okay. Now, those who believe, are you going to take some kind of responsibility for them spiritually? What kind of responsibility? Will you be instrumental, helpful in them growing spiritually? Or look at this, are you just going to do bone throwaway? I will know bone throwaway. I will know bone throwaway. You don't know bone throwaway? You know the bone throwaway? But see somebody give birth to a child and is not ready to take responsibility and then go dumps the child somewhere. Have you heard of things like that before? Oh, I say, well, they just found a child, they can't see the mother, right? 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 Someone was saying, oh, that somebody, you know, the blessing came, now that's very terrible. Came to church service, and then she took a child, and then put the child, was it in the children's church or in the service? And she left. Praise God. And she left. Are we together? So, as they were picking, I don't know what they were picking. They said, wow, this is not an envelope. You know, the ushering team is picking the envelopes that people have dropped after service. Said, this is not an envelope. Wow. So they announced, no one showed up. Then the church took responsibility. Praise God. That is called born throwaway. Amen. So in discipleship, we don't do what? Born throwaway. We take responsibility. So discipleship, does it include taking up, helping people to develop in their prayer lives? In knowing the word, in living right, what decisions to make in life according to the will and the plan of God. Then what else happens in discipleship? Help people to get into the church, right? Right? And get to the church, right? And grow. Is that inclusive? Is that inclusive? Is that inclusive? Now, let me ask you, if that has been happening in your life, can I see your hand just wave? Any or all of this has been happening, can I see your hand wave? You see, that brother has not been growing in our church. You have not been growing. Hands. You, where are you from? Praise God. Can I see your hands? Why are you not lifting your hands? You don't understand my question? I didn't even say lift your finger. I said lift your hand. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ask my question. So look at when that is happening, is that your disciple or Jesus' disciple? Oh, your mind. I'm asking you, then say mine. Your disciple. Oh. So you have the disciples. Let Jesus catch you. So look at it. If all the world fulfills that, right? And Jesus comes, will Jesus have a disciple? You are still nodding your head and you say your disciple. Why would Jesus have a disciple? Because you did the work of discipling. So, are you saying that if I'm discipling rightly, it is my disciple, it is Jesus' disciple? Thank you. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? I've been saying before, I said, oh, we've gone 11 people saved. Then they say, no! You didn't get anybody there. It's Jesus that said, oh God, calm down. Jesus come to preach. If I got them saved, then Jesus got them saved. Are we together? Are we together? Because look at this. He says, we are fellow workers with him. Now, he didn't say he's a fellow worker with us. He said, we are fellow workers with him. That means he is the first on the field. Any other person involved in the work of the gospel met Jesus on the field. Is it clear? Is it clear? So, we are co-laborers with him. He's the also other shepherd. Is it clear? You know, when he walked around the streets of Jerusalem, he came to the disciples. He says the laborers are few. Are we together? Because he was the laborer. Then he said, praise the Lord, that they will send forth more. That means we are joining him. Is it clear, church? So, the question again,
You got saved. You preached to. You got saved. You got him healed. Then you got him into the church. Then you got him into the meetings of the church. Then he begins to get committed. He begins to pray. He begins to pray God's plan. He begins to study God's word. After a while, evangelism with you. Before you know it, he joins in the church as a worker, and then his group. That person, is he your disciple or Jesus' disciple or both? Thank you. So it is your disciple because you are the one training, right? It is Jesus' disciple because it is Jesus he is following. It is Jesus he is serving. He is doing the works of Jesus. Does that make sense to you? So it is not this or that. It is what? This and that. My disciple and Jesus' disciple. Is it clear? Is it clear? But look at this. Can someone be my disciple and is not Jesus' disciple? Obviously, when I'm discipling him, what? Wrongly. You get it? You get it? You get it. That means what I am giving him is not from Jesus. So I can be discipling people. They are my disciples, but I'm discipling them after Jesus. Are you with me? Are you with me now? They can be my disciples because I'm discipling them. But look at this. I am discipling them after Jesus. After Jesus. So we said from Luke 24 that there's an ongoing work on the earth. There's an ongoing work of learning. I call that learning a what? A transformational what? Learning. Thank you. Learning. Now, as I put it in my notes, Matthew 28:18, will that be Jesus' disciple or my disciples or both? Both. Am I teaching them myself or I'm teaching them Jesus? But are they learning it from me or from the air? From me. Thank you. So, am I modeling what I'm teaching? Thank you. Besides, now look at this. In Acts 11:26, look at the text. Acts 11:26, everyone. So they are my disciples. Jesus is discipling them for Jesus, or I am discipling them after Jesus, or Jesus is discipling them through me. Are we there? Are we there? Because look at this. Jesus is nobody's pastor. I've told you. Jesus is nobody's what? Pastor. If you see anyone and say, oh, who is teaching you? The Holy Spirit. Go and check the lives of those the Holy Spirit teach. Go and check their lives. There is nothing of Jesus to emulate. Because it's not the Holy Ghost that is teaching them. They are only proud and pompous. Very proud and pompous. I don't listen to anybody. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches me. Then why are you reading the Bible? Amen. Why are you reading the Bible? You should have not read the Bible. Amen. Should have gone to Mass. That's where the Holy Ghost. Acts 11:26. Acts 11, and say, Jesus appeared to me and he was teaching me scriptures. It is not true! It is not what? It is not true! Be a liar. Then he said, can an egg see you? You are comparing yourself to him. What about Kenedegi? Kenedegi, see your shoulder. Kenedegi, you are comparing yourself with Kenedegi. And Jesus never taught Kenedegi. Taking Bible. I mean, that's where all of them run to. Kenedegi, Kenedegi, Kenedegi. So, you are like you.
Are we together? It's like the one that says, unruly on the social media. Let's say a preacher quotes a text wrongly, then he's now doing a rebuter. He comes online because he has good camera, maybe an iPhone and data. So he says that this preacher is saying nonsense. This is what the scripture says. Ah, no, why will you open your mouth and rail accusation at an elderly minister in the body of Christ? He said, no. Paul rebuked Peter. So are you Paul? You are just a reeking of pride. The last time I saw your name was not. Are we together? Paul, Galatians 2. Are you Paul? You are not Paul. Are we together? Don't be unruly. You are not Paul. Right? For we together. First of all, that happened in Antioch. Are we there? Whatever Paul did happened in Antioch. Now, Antioch was Paul's church that Peter came to. So, now, Peter was quite authoritative. His action can ruin the whole belief system. People look at him and see what he does. Now, what did Peter do? Peter was eating with Gentiles. Are we together? Are we together? Was fellowshipping with Gentiles. Now, the moment the Jewish Christians came, Peter withdrew. And Paul was like, not you. Because to withdraw means to call the Gentiles, to call them unclean. You know, Peter had that ideology since Acts 10. When Jesus said, go and preach to Cornelius, he said, no. The sheet came down from heaven. And he was rebuked. Do not call unclean what I've what? Cleaned. There are people waiting for you outside. Go! Don't doubt again. Because he was doubting. That was like when he came back from Cornelius' house by Acts 11, they gathered in the rest, the remaining Jews. They didn't say you went to preach, oh. They had everything that happened, though. Look at what they asked him. You have gone to eat with. Are we together? Because there was that Jewish custom of referring to the Gentiles as what? Sinners. In fact, you read it, sinners of the Gentiles. Sinners of the Gentiles. It has become a colloquial description. Sinners of the Gentiles. And it wasn't just the apostles that had that understanding. The whole Jews always saw the other nations as sinners. That's why the Samaritan woman spoke to Jesus and said, you guys say that. Are we together? You guys say that. In fact, the woman was like, you are a Jew. What are you talking to me that I'm a Samaritan for? Because the Israelites don't relate to them. But Jesus came to break that barrier. That's why he started his ministry at the Galilee of the Gentiles. A location that matched Jews and Gentiles. Are we together, church? Are we together? So, you then come around as a leader. Then you withdraw from the Gentiles. In other fellowship, so he was going to create that dichotomy. So Paul saw that, I have been building this church for years. You will just come for just some days, and by your attitude, everything is ruined. So he had to address it. Are we together? That's why he told, look at this, he told Timothy, don't rebuke elders publicly. Are we together? However, he now gave a clause to it. He says, elders that err before all, rebuke what? Publicly. It's a different thing, no? He was talking about people who, because of their position, what they did, will lead every other person astray. He says, address that thing publicly. So that way, others that are under that influence will see that, this person was wrong. He's not saying that when a man of God is wrong, sit in front of a LED light or ring light. You are just a foolish person that does not have any ministry. You don't have any ministry. You see some people, they say, my ministry
is to my ministry is to reveal what is wrong in the body of Christ. Oh, Timulit is Satani. There is just one person with that ministry, and that is Satan. Is it clear? The Holy Spirit does not give anybody any ministry to be showing the fault of the body of Christ. When you have a skin in the game, we will know by the way you handle the error in the house. Are we there? Aha. Uh-huh. So, back to my question. In Acts 11 then, so you see what happened? Verse 26, Acts 11. What does he say? He says, verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for who? Paul, Saul. Now, 26, he says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And after a whole year, they were themselves with the church and taught much people. Disciples were called Christians, false in Antioch. So they taught much people. So who was teaching? Who was teaching? Now, what is the word taught there? What's that Greek word there? We looked at it at the beginning of this teaching. Taught there? They taught much people is what? You see? They taught who is what works? See you guys like Matthew. Are we there? So implies that they discipled much people and taught much people. You know, it says they assembled what? A whole year. So that was discipleship going on. So the question is this. He now says they were called, were they called Paulians or Christians? Now, where did they get the word Christians from? Is that from Christ? So does that answer our question? So Paul was discipling, but they were disciples of who? Of Jesus. Does that make sense to you now? So Paul is discipling. They are disciples of who? Of Jesus. So they are disciples of Jesus of you. Or they are true and right. Whose disciples? My disciples or disciples? Or both? Can I get a question? My disciple or Jesus' disciple or both? Both. Now look at this. If they are also disciples of Jesus, if Jesus therefore had said, go and make disciples, 28, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. Jesus did not say, make disciples. But definitely in their minds, they knew that is what it is. Because later on, he now says, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded. Did you see that? How did he put it in verse 24 of Luke? He says, verse 44 rather, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in my name. Are we together? In my name. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Are we together? Yes. Yeah. Name. So discipleship is done in the name of Jesus. Discipleship is done in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, many times when we use the phrase in the name of Jesus, we're expecting miracles, isn't it? Or when we say, in the name of Jesus, we're expecting the power of God, right? Like the gifts of the Spirit to be manifested, the power of God to be manifested. When it is in the name of Jesus, it is discipleship. Name, we can raise the dead, cast out devils, speak with tongues in his name. We also raise. So the name of Jesus speaks about the authority of Jesus. On behalf of Jesus, I can cast out devils. What he enables me to do in the name of Jesus means Jesus enables me to do this. So in the name of Jesus is what Jesus enables to do. So he enables us to make disciples. Are we together? He enables us to make disciples. In those disciples are his disciples. They are his disciples. Glory to God forevermore. I say glory to God forevermore. Discipleship, look at this. I am learning Jesus. That is what I am learning. I am learning to be like Jesus. Are we together? Now, why do I have to learn to be like Jesus? I thought he said, I'm already like him. We're going to get into that. But discipleship is to learn to live like Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. To learn to what? To live like Jesus. So look at this. When we have two disciples who are married in the home. You have two people. You know, at least they're two Jesuses. But there are two people who are living like who? Living like who? Jesus. Now, look at this. Is it okay that the other one who is living like Jesus looks like the other one and punches him in the face? Is that like Jesus? No. Are we there? So just look at it and punch him in the face. Is that like Jesus? No. Praise God. Is it likely that two people, amen, two Christians who live around each other or often or fellowships around each other, if look at themselves and then one tells the other, if I catch you, I'm going to ruin your life. Is that like Jesus? No. So to learn properly means I am learning to live like Jesus. Praise God. I said praise God. So how do I learn to live like Jesus? Someone say it is by the word. You see, so I'm going to get the whole lot of word into me. So I become a living word. A walking word. Is it clear? A speaking word. Is it clear? A thinking word. Is it clear? God, I speak the word. I walk the word. I do the word. I think the word. I feel the word. I feel the word. I learn the word. I see the word. I think the word. I say the word. I do the word. I do the word. I hear the word. I think the word. I think the word. I go the word. I act the word. I say the word. I see the word. I react the word. I do the word. Because I'm learning to live like Jesus. Praise God. So God is going to heal the earth as more people learn to live like Jesus. It is not enough to be born again. Those who are born again now needs to learn to live, are we together, like Jesus. Now you can't live like Jesus if you are not born again. You can't. You have to be born again. Jesus said it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He cannot be part. He cannot partake. He cannot participate. God's kingdom cannot be extended through him. The unbeliever does
Live like Jesus. Praise the Lord forevermore. I said, praise the Lord forevermore. So look at this. I'm learning to be like Jesus. Now, what is that learning, that progress that comes to us through learning? What do they call it? Yeah, transformation. What was the word we used for it? What was that Greek word we explored for that? Manthano, right? That learning process. Glory to God forevermore. 3, 4. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast what? Learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now the word learned is the word mantano. Continue in it. Praise God. To continue. Someone say continue. To continue in the things that you have learned. Continue in it. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Combative learning. Praise God. I said, praise God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Look at it together. Let's look at it. Let's read together. Everybody wants to go. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That sounds like a song, right? Could it be an album? What level album? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. What do you want to think? Some people thought I was rapping. Or maybe rapping is not of God. Who told you? Who told you rapping is not of God? Oh, you're looking at me like a rapper. Like you like rapping. I 47 of God. Guy will rap in the music team. All of them are too spiritual to rap. Praise God. So look at this. Look at 9, everybody. Those things which you have both what? Learned and received and what do you do? Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So it says, those things. Now, when he says the God of peace, obviously, that is a bad translation. It is the peace of God. Did you see that? Did you see that? He can't say do, then the God of peace will come. Where is he before? He says he lives in you. Are we there? So he's saying the God of peace shall be. It's the peace of God. Are we together? Alright. So he blesses their acting on the world. So he says, those things which you have both learned and received. Now, that word learned there is the word mantano. So, did you see that? Notice what Paul said earlier. We are still on that question, who's disciple? So, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, he says, continue thou in the things which thou hast what? Learned. Knowing of what? Whom thou hast what? Learned it. Now, obviously, who has Timothy learned it from? Who has Timothy learned it from? So, is Timothy Paul's disciple? Alright? So, do you learn someone? Discover that you know. Do you learn from someone? Or you just find out one morning that, I know. Or you learn from someone. Thank you. So, look at the text we just read now. It says, whatsoever thing. Can we read again verse 9? Philippians 4, verse 9. Everyone, verse 9. Once you go. Those things which you have what? And seen. Take it again. Verse 9. Once you go. And receive them. And so where did they see it?
He is Paul writing to one man or a church. One man or a church. So where did they see it? In him, right? Where did they hear it? From him, right? Where did they receive it? From him. Where did they learn it? So Mantano will be from Paul. Yes or no? So they learn from Paul. Are we together? Are we together? They learn from Paul. Look at verse 11 before you write too much. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10, everyone. Verse 10, want to go. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now the last you care of me. Have flourished again, when you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 11, everyone wants to go. So that I speak respect of war, for I have learned, I have been trained. Did you see that? I have been trained. So, did Paul also get trained? Did he also get transformed? Did he also receive training? Look at what it says. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be contentment. So, contentment is a Christian training. Particularly for ministers. You must learn to produce results with whatever you have. Contentment. Contentment is the art of fulfilling your vision in spite and despite what you have at the moment. Contentment. Look at what he said in verse 12. I know both how to be obeyed and how to be bound, how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound, serve and eat. I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. Hey! That strengthens me was a. Have you seen it that way before? Did you see that? That strengthens me is training that he received the training to be dependent on God. Are we together? Time will not permit me. I'll take you into a text from Deuteronomy chapter 8. So Paul is talking about training or learning how to trust God. How to trust God. Someone say how to trust God. That's it. How to trust God. So in the first way, training. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 20, you have not so learned Christ. 7:29. Learn of me. Are we together? It is learn of me. Gospel, chapter 7, and then in verse 5. John's Gospel, chapter 7, and then in verse 5. Again, you see what, you know, Jesus said, John 7, verse 5. Praise God. Or, is it John 7, 5 now? 15, rather. John 7, 15. Wasn't Jesus poor? He says, and the Jews marvel, saying, "He knoweth how knoweth this man letters, have not been trained." Mantano. Haven't never been trained. Now that has to be put in its context. It wasn't saying Jesus lacked training. It just meant that he had not gone to the formal school. Are we together? Like the rest. Praise God. So we see that art of learning is by the word of God. In Luke chapter 2, Jesus himself learning. So if Jesus says to amen, Jesus says to go make people to learn, go and make disciples. Okay? What else have we said? We said Jesus, are we together? When we are learning, it is we are learning like Jesus. Or we are learning after Jesus. Or we are learning Jesus. That means that Jesus also, he also learned. That we will learn in Jesus. Amen. Should I go back a little bit? I said Don't forget the question we answered. You must observe I teach systematically. We said that that disciple, is he your disciple or Jesus' disciple? We said both, right? Right? So we said that means that disciple is learning who? Jesus from who? From you. Isn't it? Isn't it? Okay. So if you're learning Jesus from me, that means you are learning to be like Jesus, right? Right? Now, I now say, that means, listen carefully. One of the things that we are going to learn from Jesus. Are we together? Now, what are we learning from Jesus so we can be like Jesus? Are we together? In our conduct, in our culture. So, one of the things, you know, we are looking at learning properly, right? So, one of the things that we are going to learn from Jesus, amen, is how Jesus learned. So we need to learn how Jesus did what? Learned. Are we together? Are we together? Look at me again. Look at me. 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 The disciple you are raising now is whose disciple? Is he your disciple or Jesus' disciple or both? But must it be all about the person being your disciple or the person must be Jesus' disciple? I asked the question. I said, is it possible for the person to be your disciple and is not Jesus' disciple? Is it possible? But is that the ideal? No. So the goal is to make the person Jesus' is what? Disciple, even as the person is what? My disciple. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? Now, pause there in your mind. If you were with Jesus in the four Gospels, are we together? If you were around AD 30, amen? AD 30, or you were around between AD 30 and AD 33. Now, AD 30 and AD 33 was when Jesus did his earthly ministry. That is Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. Are we together? AD is not after death, too. That is terrible. That is terrible. AD is not after death, too. Are we together? All right. So, AD 30 means when Jesus was 30 years old. So, AD 33 means when Jesus was 33 years old. So, if you were a disciple of Jesus at that time, do you think part of what you'll be learning from Jesus is how to learn? Huh? If you did something, is it likely that Jesus will rebuke you that, hey, you didn't learn this properly? Did he do that with his disciples? Did he rebuke them for not learning how to cast out devils? Huh? Did he rebuke them for not learning their faith work strongly? Did he rebuke them for not grasping some doctrines? Did he rebuke them or warn them against learning certain things, the doctrine of the Pharisees? Did he rebuke them to take it to how they hear? Now, did you think when he says take it to how they hear, do you think he'll be talking about physical hearing of sounds or how they process teaching? When he says take it how you hear, that means, hey, be careful your disposition towards to teachings because you can hear wrongly. Are we together? Are we together? So, now, again, did he rebuke them about offenses amongst them? So, you have that. If you were Jesus' disciple in the four Gospels, one of the trainings you will be receiving is how to learn. Are we together? Are we together? So, one of the things that a disciple of Jesus today will learn is to learn properly. And how do I learn properly? I need to look at how Jesus was learned. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? What? Learned. So, how did Jesus learn? Okay? I'm going to approach that briefly tonight. It's on Thursday. How did Jesus learn? I'm not going to answer that directly. I'm going to answer that indirectly. Who is Jesus? Jesus the seed of David. Are we together? He's the seed of David. If Jesus is the seed of David, that means we will find traits of David. Are we together? In Jesus, or we're going to find traits of Jesus in who? In David. Which one? Which one? Are we going to find traits of David in Jesus? Or we're going to find traits of Jesus in David? Do we have two camps? Who is the camp Jesus, camp David? Who is camp Jesus? Oh, we'll find David in Jesus. No, don't tell me David in Jesus. You are confusing me. Say what you mean. We're going to find traits of David in Jesus, or we're going to find traits of Jesus in David. You guys are saying both. You are culprits. We are going to revoke your life as Bible teachers. You sit on the boat a lot. I hope it does not sink. Are we together? Because that boat cannot be B-O-C-H. Amen. We're going to find Jesus in David. Now look at this. If we say Jesus in David, we're saying Jesus as a man, right? If we say David in Jesus, we're referring to the deity of Jesus. Isn't it? If we say Jesus in David, are we together? That means Jesus is going to lend David. Is that what we're saying? When we say we'll find the traits of David in Jesus, are we there? We are saying that Jesus is coming from David. Yes or no? But if we will find the traits of Jesus, are we together, in David, we are saying that David is learning. Yes or no? So which one was true? Did Jesus learn David, or David learn Jesus? All of you that are saying that David learned Jesus, you are our Sunday students. Sunday, we are in Thursday. Are we together? All of you that are saying that David learned Jesus. Eh? Did David learn anybody got Jesus? Eh? Are we together? Obviously, if you say that David learned Jesus, you will not be wrong, but you have to explain it, because Jesus is the Lord of David. Did you see that? And David was to mirror his shepherd nature as king. But that is not our focus. Are we there? Our focus is Luke chapter 2. When Jesus went into the scriptures, are we together? Was he schooling David, or David, or he was learning from David? Oh, so according to the focus, God became flesh. God had to learn David. Are we together? Don't make the Bible look spooky and weird, though. Amen. Don't worry, you can sound like that when you're talking to the unbeliever, the unsaved. If you give them that level, they're not going to catch up. It gives them the work to do. Is it clear? Look spooky. Jesus learned from David. Is it clear? Look at this. If we see David to God's word, amen, we are going to see Jesus' attitude. Isn't it? Thank you. Now, look at this, because I want to close any moment from now. Jesus learns from David. Look at the Luke 2 text again. Go to and look at Luke chapter 2 also. Luke chapter 2. Jesus learns from who? David. Are we together? John chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Look at John 2 first.
If you are there, say amen. Amen. All right. So let's read verse 16. It says, take these hands from my father's. Take these things, make not my father's house and house of merchandise. And disciples remember that it is written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Now this was Psalm 69. Are we together? Psalm 69. This was being quoted here. So look at it. He's saying Jesus repeats Psalm 69. Are we together? He's not saying Psalm 69 repeats Jesus. He says Jesus repeats Psalm 69. The zeal of thine house had eaten me up. Now, that word, that phrase, the zeal of thine house had eaten me up, was a psalm of David about how passionate he was to build God a temple, which Solomon later was did. Did you see that? He was eaten up. That was why all the money that Solomon used, are we together, to build the temple, David literally was stored them up. Are we together, church? He stored them up. The materials he was going to use to build the temple. He prepared the land, he prepared the whole thing. So Solomon simply came, erected the temple. So the zeal of up is Jesus repeating or being zealous just like David. Is it clear? So just like David, he is zealous. So that means we are going to find the traits of who? Of David in who? In Jesus. So for the sake of this study, we are going to David. Is it clear? We are going to David. Alright. I turn the coin over in our next meeting. We are going to David. So you see, how did David learn the words? Or, what was David's attitude to the words? What was David's attitude to the words? In Psalm 1, it seems as though I'm just starting tonight, but I'm close. Please make me close. Play for me. In Psalm 1, before I get to 10 o'clock, praise God forevermore. I'm going to be explaining the book of Psalms sometime next year. The whole book. Alright. Psalm 1, sometimes in 2026. Alright. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the words ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Can we take two together? But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Say, I love the word. Praise God. Look at this. It's a blessed thing that you have something to learn. You know, something happened to me about 2 days ago. It was early in the morning. Something took me online. And then, But I had to click on my phone. I click on something, click on another, and I found myself online at a very early hour. Maybe it was around 6 a.m. or so. I usually am not online at 6 a.m. Now, I got online, so I saw something on the internet. I saw the picture of a young guy. Now, from the news headline, was on the news. So the newest headline I wrote, it was something that happened to him. So it moved my attention. Now, I knew what happened to him, I just didn't want to mention it. So it piqued my attention very early in the morning. I saw it. Now, look at it. Now, there were about 3 or 4 pictures of that same guy in that whatsoever. He didn't commit a crime. I mean, it was just something terrible that happened to him. He's alive, okay? So, as I scrolled on the picture, I saw one of the pictures, you know, took his front face looking at the camera. So, that's just me, okay? There's really nothing serious to learn in it. I stared into his eyes in the camera. I mean, I was right there. So I looked into his eyeballs, and for a few seconds, I was caught. So I just looked into his eyes. As I was there meditating, I looked at my screen. I was looking into his eyes. He's a young man. I was looking into his eyes. And then a thought just dropped into my heart that what is going on in his soul currently? Now, immediately I knew that part of me that was interested in that was the shepherd because of his experience. So I was more or less thinking like his pastor, something like that. So I was looking at it. I don't know him. I've never seen him. I don't know nothing about him. But I read the news line, and I was news headline, and I was moved. So I saw him. I was looking into the camera, and I was now reasoning what is happening in his life right now. How is he thinking? What is happening? I was trying to imagine the chaos in his life currently. And does he have wisdom to handle it? Those were just my thoughts. And look at this. A thought dropped and told me, you can never know. I came out with a conclusion. I told myself that conclusion. Instead, I wasn't even planning to mention this to any of this evening. But I concluded, I told myself, I just said, well, if you are not in people's lives, you can't know their experiences. If you don't know their experiences, never judge them. That was just what I just told myself. But this is where I'm going. I told myself, I said, the thoughts told me, says, you can never know. It was a terrible thing that happened to you. So I said, you can never know. And where I'm going is this. The reason why I was conscious of the fact that I can never know was because, look at this. I can never, I don't know, but I know God's grace, I know God's plan, I know God's help. But because what he did and had happened to him must have been a point he got to after doing what he did for about, I mean, maybe a decade or so. He had been doing that, and then suddenly he fell into a ditch that I knew that he wasn't coming out of it. Now, or except by divine providence. So I asked myself, and I just got that answer in my heart that you can never know. Now, this is the reason why I got the answer. Because I just discovered that the way I think, are we together? You are distracted. You. So, I just thought that because, now, the way I think, and you are distracted. The way I think, amen, couldn't have been the way he thinks. Are you listening to me? If you don't get what I'm saying tonight, you have missed something big. The way I think is not the way he thinks. Now, the way I think today, that's why I said, if you are not in people's lives, you can't know their what experiences. If you don't know their experiences, you can't really. You are not in the, you don't have the right to judge them, no matter what. Whether you are more moral, you can't judge them. You can only help them. If you can't help people, keep quiet and get out. And don't pass judgment on them. Because you don't know what they're going through. But look at it, I said, the way I think, or the way God helps me to think now, is not the way he thinks. Because the way I think, I arrived at the way I think today because I've been learning God's word for over a decade. I've been pastoring for over 18 years. There's a way that years and experiences has made me reason the way I reason. Are we together? There is a way he reasons. There is what he calls normal. There is what he calls life. There is what he sees as value. Based on the way he has also lived and the experiences he has had, and you can't judge him. But hear me, it's a blessed thing that you have something to learn. People who have nothing to learn, are we together? Don't know. They can never imagine the beauty in your own life. They can never imagine it. That's where I don't even think I said what is in my heart the way I wanted to say. Dick, no.
The word of God changes you. The word of God changes you. And one thing about consistency is that you will never know, you won't see a sign of difference until everything has changed. The guy in the gym does not know, he can't see it. After 2 months, he still can't see it. But someday, he stands in the front of the camera, in the front of the mirror, after like 6 to 9 months, and he sees all the muscles are out. You can never know. It's a blessedness to have something to learn and to be. It changes you, and that is what that's what's going to take me to the next point I'm going to make. I've not even made this point, but the next thing I'm going to talk about is that God wants us to learn His word with all of our hearts. All of your heart. We're looking at learning properly. All of my heart. All of my mind. All of my soul. I give to you. When you give God's word all of your soul, you don't struggle to get up in the morning and meditate on the word. When you give God's word all of your heart, you don't find it difficult to plug your ear and listen to a day. But God's word all of your mind, you don't find it difficult in the Sunday morning services with your Bible. How would you without a Bible? We're going when you left your house. When you give God's word all of your heart, some things become so simple and effortless. See, I give the word of God all of my heart. See, you can never almost said, God told me. Or within that statement, God told me. But that was the perception in my heart. I just knew that I would never be able to come down to the way He reasons. I can never know. I can only help. I can never know. I can never know. I can never know what makes Him think the way He thinks that will make Him to act and do what He did. I can never know because God's word has changed every fiber of His mind. The word of God changes you. Are we together, church? And when something promises transformation, then attention. You gotta give it your all. You gotta give it your. You gotta give it your time. When something promises transformation, when something promises transformation, when something promises healing of your life, not just of your body, but your entire life. When something promises healing of your relationships. When something promises you transformation. When something promises you transformation. You got to give it your resources. You got to give it your time. You got to give it your energy. Glory to God forevermore. God, what my attention. Lord, my attention, my resources, my energy, my time, my. Oh, I give my life. Lord, your word has my life. Your word in my heart. Your word in my lips. Your word burning in my heart. The zeal for your word burning in my heart. Say the zeal for your word burning in my heart. Say the zeal for your word burning in my heart. Look at what David said. David said, His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight. I rejoice at your word. David said, he that has found the word of God is like finding a treasure. Lord, your word in my heart. I give my heart to your word, to the transformation that your word brings into life. Lord, my life is open to your word. David said your word. David said your word. David said your word. He said 40 verse 8. David said your word. Then 40 verse 8. To do your will, oh my God. Yes, your law is within my heart. Say the word of God is in my heart. The word of God is in my heart. The word of God is, the word of God is in my heart. God's word in my heart. My heart. God's word in my heart. The word of God in my heart. The word of God in my heart. 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 Psalm 119:35. He says, take me to go in the path of your commandments. For therein do I delight. I delight in your word. In verse 47, and I will delight myself in your commandment, which I have loved. 17, he says, thy eyes, Father Christ, but I delight in thy law. Verse 77, let thy tender mercies that I may live, for your word is my delight. Verse 174, he says, I have longed for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my. Psalm 25 verse 10. Oh Lord, your word in my heart. All the paths of the Lord and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Psalm 78 and then in verse 56. It says, yet the tempted and provoked the Most High again on his testimonies. Testimonies. Psalm 93 verse 5. He says, thy very sure holiness become thy house, O Lord, forever. Your testimony. Psalm 132 and then in verse 4. He says, if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, then I shall teach them. The children also shall sit upon thy throne forever. Say, Lord, I choose to do your word. I do your word. Hallelujah. Your word on my lips. Your word is mine. In the last one to my you.
Christ, you may.